It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Thank you to each and every one of you for listening. You each are treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, live with intention and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Thank you to this great team I get to work with, producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Greatly appreciate everything that goes into bringing this broadcast to you, and certainly appreciate all of you that are contributing to support our independent voice as we are exercising our freedom of speech, our freedom of assembly, our freedom of the press. So thank you to each and every one of you for that. Check out our website. It's Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts, and our most recent op-eds. Producer Steve, we've been taking it a little easy on the recordings for the Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. It'll be another easy week, and then we're going to be hitting it again hard. How are you doing this Monday?
After a weekend like I had, I could only be doing good. So bring it Monday, bring it.
Ah, I love it. I love it. Tonight is the final four, or the finals of the final four. So the NCAA championship, and Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners. They've been running specials through all of the March Madness. Today is the final day. And if you're going to have friends over to watch the game, they have to go specials. If you want to get out and go see the games at one of the, and watch one of the TVs there at Hooters Restaurants, they have dine-in specials and also to-go specials. They have five locations: Aurora, Westminster, Lone Tree, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. To find out about those specials, you can go to my website. Just click on my sponsors, and all those sponsors there, I highly, highly recommend. And if you'd like to be a sponsor, please reach out to me as well. I'd love to chat with you about that. But just click on the Hooters icon, and all of those specials will come forward. Did you happen to see, I actually saw the buzzer beater on the Gonzaga game. It was unbelievable, producer Steve.
Well, I'm sorry I can't back you up there because the weekend was so high-powered. The last thing I had time to do was watch
TV. Any basketball.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I just happened to have it out of the corner of my eye. So Gonzaga versus Baylor tonight. You said it's about, what, 7:20-ish our time?
Local Colorado time, yeah.
About 7:20.
Yes.
Okay, great. Big show planned for you today. In studio with me is Cynthia Sarmiento. It's great to have you here, Cynthia.
Great. Thank you for having me.
And you're doing a lot of really important work regarding candidates and elections here in Colorado. We're going to talk about that in the second segment. But Cynthia, this is work that is just truly on your heart.
Yes. Yes. I feel called to do this and just compelled to move forward with it. My husband tells me if I put as much energy into things that made a lot of money as I do this, we'd be millionaires.
You'd be uber wealthy.
Yes.
Huh? It's kind of funny how that happens with Americans when they're really looking at liberty. I think I remember some guys that put to their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on the line.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they did that to pass on something good to the next generation.
Yes.
And they didn't pass on trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars of debt to the next generation. There's something kind of un-American about that, Cynthia.
I agree. And, you know, when people ask me, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, I always say I look at my son who's 12 years old. And when I look in his face, I want him to someday be able to say, back in the 20s, mm-hmm. you know, my mom made a difference in this country and helped us move forward through one of the most difficult times that we may have seen since the inception of this nation.
It is. And I'm with you. My heart is very heavy as I watch what is going on in our country right now. And I have come to believe that Colorado is the petri dish to see what the radical activist left can do. They call themselves, first of all, democratic. And we talked about it last week, producer Steve, that we have this battle of the narrative, and we've had that battle for quite some time. We've let the word conservative in the political realm mean a bad thing, when actually conservative, what it means is to conserve these principles of the America our founding, which we said in the Declaration that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Calvin Coolidge said, if all men are created equal, then that is final. There's nothing else. But we need to claw back that narrative. But also, there's nothing democratic about this Democrat Party now. So I challenge each and every one of you to no longer call it democratic. It's Democrat, but they have been taken over by radical activists that really, I don't think, like America. And they don't like the everyday people either. You'll notice, Steve, in the packet that we have from Patty, that Joe Biden's tax increase, it looks like it's going to start at people that are earning $200,000. Now, $200,000 sounds like a lot, but you can have a couple of teachers that have been teaching for quite some time, and they're going to be at $200,000. And they said they were only going to raise taxes on millionaires and billionaires. Well, guess what? That's not the case, producer Steve.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Most definitely. So let's go to our inspiration.
Yeah, before you go there,
okay.
Your comment again, and you say it often, about Colorado being the Petri dish. One of the things that we can use to back that up is that we are aware of a book that was written back in the, mid-2000s, the Blueprint, Adam Schrader and Rob Whitwer.
Uh-huh.
I have always heard that once the Dems successfully pulled off what they have pulled off, is that that was being exported to other states. Well, so there's your proof about the Petri dish.
Well, it really is. And what happened is the radical activist left looked at Colorado. They looked at the demographics of Colorado, Cynthia. And you've got this, a whole bunch of rural Colorado, and then you have the Front Range. And they figured out that if, first of all, they could win those elections in maybe five of the Front Range counties, then they could start to push in their candidates with these radical activist, unconstitutional agenda, and then take that and export it, as Steve said, to other states. It's taken us a little while to figure out what was going on, Cynthia, but I got it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned something about how the word conservative has become almost like a dirty word mm-hmm. now. And one of the things that I see quite often is the inflammatory language that is used by the radical left to make those who consider themselves conservative appear to be the ones that are actually radicalized. For instance, this constant barrage of information about people are refusing to get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. We refuse this, we refuse that. You don't have to be refusing to not want to do something. If you took that type of language and you applied it to other things in life, imagine saying, I refuse to eat toast for breakfast this morning, mm-hmm. Instead of eggs or something like that. But it's that constant inflammatory language, that indoctrination into this negative type of personification of people who want to preserve our Constitution. And we've seen that go throughout our school system and our media, and in particular in the school system. Unfortunately, so many of us have been working and trying to just make ends meet that we have become apathetic to the fact that this radical indoctrination has permeated our school system. Mm-hmm. And if you look at history, world history, where communism has taken over and horrible things have happened, one of the first things that they do are to indoctrinate the children mm-hmm. and to separate them ideologically from their parents mm-hmm. and from their mm-hmm. families. And that's exactly what we're seeing now, particularly with the America is a bad place indoctrination through our schools. They've convinced young people that they have to fight against what America stands for. And they haven't taught them both sides of what America stands for.
Right. Lincoln said that if America ever falls, it'll fall from internally. And I think that that is something that is extremely heavy on my heart. And when you talk about children, so we've made it, as you mentioned, it's difficult for people to make ends meet. You have many times both parents are working, and they're tired when they get home, and they may not be watching what has been happening at school. That's been something that's interesting been about this online school, is parents are seeing what's going on. And in fact, there was some legislation that was presented recently here in Colorado, and it was primarily, I think, by Republicans, saying that that parents could watch and see what's going on online. You're thinking, really? I can't watch what my kids are being taught?
Mm-hmm.
So the veil is off. That's one thing about this whole COVID-19 Wuhan China virus thing, reaction disruption, is the veil is off. And we are at a really interesting time in our country on this Cynthia Sarmiento. So let's go ahead to a couple of things here. We look at issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people, Cynthia. And Steve, this is so interesting. He said that you and I must have collaborated on our quote for today. This is from Samuel Adams. And we know him. He was an American statesman, political philosopher, and one of the founding fathers of the United States. He was a politician in colonial Massachusetts, a leader of the movement that became the American Revolution, and one of the architects of the principles of American republicanism that shaped the political culture of the United States. He was born in 1722. He died in 1803. And Cynthia, this is what he said. It is in the interest of tyrants to reduce the people to ignorance and vice, for they cannot live in any country where virtue and knowledge prevail. And Steve said that you and he were having that conversation, Steve, right before I came into the studio this morning, huh?
I wish I could have found the Twilight music, Twilight Zone music that I have here in the library, but I couldn't get my hands on it fast enough because, yes, we were having that very conversation before you walked in the door. And then I looked at the quote that you chose for the day. It's like, oh my gosh, that's exactly what we were just talking about.
Well, and we have really seen that happen in our country where people have gotten so focused on maybe themselves and not thinking about what they're passing on to the next generation. And on my other show, America's Veteran Stories, I've interviewed many veterans, but many of our World War II veterans. And you look back, and the American idea really has been that we pass on something good to the next generation. Our founding fathers and mothers, our founding fathers, they said that it's important. What are we going to pass on? Are we going to pass on liberty or something else? And so our question is, are we going to pass on liberty or a big fat IOU? What do you think, Cynthia?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I taught college for 10 years, and it was a tenuous situation oftentimes for me to be someone who had the views that I had teaching in the community college system.
And what subjects?
I taught psychology. So by trade, I'm a psychologist, and I had a practice working in the inner city for several years with violent gang members. That was my career. And then went into teaching.
So politics is not that different, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Just a different landscape.
Yeah.
But, you know, over 10 years ago, I would stand in front of classrooms of young people and talk to them because I taught social psychology. And one of the things that we really studied in social psychology is the bystander effect, how people can sit by and do nothing in the face of a crisis because they defer responsibility to other people. And we see that consistently right now in our system. There are so many people that are out there that are finally starting to see the crisis that is impending, but they continue to defer the responsibility for fixing it to other people. And I used to tell students all the time that apathy and indifference would be what would destroy our nation. And unfortunately, I'm seeing that come alive still today as being an activist. I continually talk to people and fight with people about this idea of deferring responsibility to other people. We can no longer say, well, it's the Republican Party's responsibility, or it's our legislators' responsibility, or it's this group of people's responsibility to make this change. We have to create a grassroots, across-the-board, systemic change in how we're approaching protecting our freedoms and liberties in this country.
Okay, well, we'll talk more about that in this second segment. Let's go to break. When we come back, we actually lowlight, or it depends, lowlight, highlight, a bill of the day, and want to mention that so that you are up to speed on some of the things that are happening down at the State House. In segments 3 and 4, we'll be talking with John Tamney, and he has a new book out. And he says, When Politicians Panic, the New Coronavirus, Expert Opinion, and a Tragic Lapse of Reason. And we'll be chatting with him. He is with the Center for Economic Freedom at FreedomWorks. But that'll be in segments 3 and 4. We'll come back and continue the conversation with Cynthia Sarmiento. Stay tuned.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. In studio with me is Cynthia Sarmiento, and she's doing some great work on candidate training, a variety of different things. Before we get to that, though, Cynthia Sarmiento, we wanted to bring to your attention House Bill 21-1121, and this is on Kevin Lundberg's bad list, and it's residential tenancy procedures. And basically, the bill prohibits residential landlords from increasing rent more than one time in a 12-month period of tenancy. It has a whole bunch of different things, but it says number of days of notice, a whole variety of things. But what it in essence does is, I think it makes it more and more difficult for a landlord to evict somebody that's not paying their rent. And this is a direct assault on property rights. Let's think about it. I know a number of people that have bought rental properties for cash flow or for their retirement. And if somebody doesn't pay the rent and they can't get the rent, then who pays the mortgage? Who pays this off? And ultimately, if somebody has rented to someone and they're living there, they're not paying rent, but yet the landlord still has to continue to make payments if they have mortgaged their property, ultimately they could lose the property. And this goes back, Steve, to our 8 predictions that we talk about all the time from the World Economic Forum. And, they've put it right there, out there in on paper. And basically, it's an assault on property rights. By 2030, they say that they want people to not own anything. Well, property rights is inherent in the American idea. But Steve, think about it. All of us think about it. You've gone out, you've saved up money, you've bought a property, you mortgaged it, but your cash flow from the rent that you can receive, this is a hot market here, and you've mortgaged it, you want to make your payments, and then your tenant doesn't make payments, but you have to make it up. You may never make that money back up on that, Steve.
Well, you're right. We're kind of tracking now because we followed the smell, the stench of the World Economic Forum. Several things that the United States seems to be making the turn, or a turnaround in a different direction. And when you first brought this up, I said, okay, property rights have been, a fundamental thing in that conservative environment you address. property rights have been there for 240-some years. Why now? Why this all of a sudden turnabout?
Cynthia, you want to bite that one off?
Well, I mean, I think this goes back to the conversation that we were having, that Steve and I were having right before we started this, in that the more dependent that people are on the government, the more divided they are against each other. In other words, we create these chasms, right, between renter and landlord, and we position ourselves to create victims in every situation. We take away the things that people have traditionally been able to make an income, and things like property, which traditionally appreciate over time. There's times when that doesn't happen, mm-hmm. right? We know that. But in the long run, owning property is an appreciating interest. And the more that we can diminish people's financial well-being.
When you say we, you mean the radical activists.
Yes, yeah. mm-hmm. yes, as a nation. If the radical activists can separate us, right, have landlords positioned against, in other words, again, just that chasm between people that we see in mm-hmm. every aspect right now, it's just permeating. And if they can take away those rights, then, again, we are more easily divided and mm-hmm. subjugated.
Well, let's talk about what you're doing then, because Colorado is the petri dish.
I agree.
We realize that the fight is here. Concern from an election integrity standpoint regarding, and one of my friends always challenges me that there were actually two counties that did not use the Dominion voting systems, and that was Douglas County and Garfield County. So, but I'm talking big picture. There are actually ways to mess with the elections, and they quote unquote do it legally. And of course, this whole mail-in ballot thing is one of the ways. And of course, Steve, you're so concerned about what's going on in Georgia. They're saying we need to have voter ID, and you're hearing the radical activist left say, "Oh, that's voter suppression." But you brought up a couple of points. I saw Patty had in the packet that Coca-Cola, which is trying to kind of strong-arm Georgia, and they're based in Atlantis, says that we don't really need voter ID, but yet they wanted people to present their ID when they went to the shareholder meeting. And you had one other example, I think.
Yeah, from USA Radio News. Now, you know, the guy who does the news at the top of the hour, I don't know that he's chartered to give his opinion except just read the headlines. But this one just made me laugh out loud. We all know by now that Major League Baseball somehow was successful at getting the All-Star game moved out of Atlanta, you know, in July. But at the same time, the USA Radio News headline guy said, you know, this is kind of strange because any check on Major League Baseball policy is that anyone going to one of their ticket offices at any stadium must show ID to pick up their tickets.
It's crazy, Cynthia.
It is. It is.
Okay. So what are you going to do? What is happening here in Colorado? How are you going to fix this?
So, you know, this started and the title of our organization, Just Defy, DEFY, came about when Governor Polis last year kept saying, just wear the damn mask, and to oil workers, just transition, and this type of thing. And that's where the title of this came from. So what we're doing is we're working to defy this movement toward tyranny and socialism. Predominantly, what we stand for, again, are economic growth and parental choice, individual responsibility, those types of things.
Kind of nice.
Yeah, exactly. things that are kind of common sense, it seems, but for unknown reasons, it's not
it's
now,
not
right?
Anymore.
So what we are working to do, me and my group, is number one, to bring people into the fold in terms of getting involved in politics, right? People say, oh, I don't want to be involved in politics. Well, you're involved in politics regardless.
It's involved in you.
Yes, mm-hmm. You can't get away from it. And so one of the things that I'm really working on right now is people are saying, well, I want the GOP to do things. Okay, fine. That's great. Again, back to that, you know, positioning someone else as being responsible. So I am working right now to develop training and to recruit people into the GOP. As a county party leader, one of the things that I think is that if you want to be in the game, then you really need to get in the game, right? Become a precinct committee person, become a district captain, take on those roles and do the work and put in the time. Also, I hear, you know, there is definitely a chasm right now within the Republican Party between different factions of that of the party, and, mm-hmm. and they're arguing about how things should be done. And there's a great call right now to stop doing things the way that we've always done them, which has not been successful, right? That's the definition of insanity, is to do the same thing over and over and expect a different outcome. And I've had occasion to talk to a lot of people that are upset about that. They want to change. So what I tell people is, then you need to be the change that you expect to see. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I'm really working on through my organization, is encouraging people to get off of the sidelines and step into the game and start to take responsibility for making those changes. And I've recruited quite a few people already into those positions, and now they are working simultaneously with things that we're doing in our group and also being active in the GOP. The second thing is, we need to begin to vet and train candidates and support our candidates all the way down the line.
We have seen the radical activist left have taken everything from dog catcher to governor here,
yes,
in Colorado. But Cynthia, I have to tell you, I'm not interested anymore in supporting people that just have an R behind their name. I want somebody that's actually going to stand up for American principles. And that is one of the reasons I think that the party is so fractured. How would you address that?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, we unfortunately have so many people who have that R behind their name who have lost complete sight of what that even means, mm-hmm. or stands for. And that's one of the things that our grassroots types of organizations can address if we come together and start to vet candidates and demand, for lack of better words, demand that they actually represent the values that they're saying they will by taking that R, right? The platform, the values, those types of things. And one of the things that I developed in conjunction with Kavika Berthelet and Karen Hoops out in Adams County GOP was a candidate readiness questionnaire that's meant to help vet candidates. And Karen developed a self-assessment. We've taken those two things together along with a training program that Kavika is doing. And those things together allow us to get a clear picture of where people's principles are and whether they're dedicated to putting in the work necessary to be successful as a candidate. You can't become a legislator or a city council member or anything else if you can't be a successful candidate first. And looking at then, once they are in office, will they represent what we need them to represent? And that training is an in-person training, and I think it's growing over time, and I want to continue to be part of it. But I also want to help train people and understand, how do you even get into being in your county party or being part of that? And I totally agree with you. We far too often just have people who are stepping up. We don't know who they are, what they're about, or whether they're even going to represent our values, and we need to start to vet them and train.
And help them. And training, and then also support once they're elected. Cynthia, how can people get more information?
So if you go to my website, justdefy.org, I have a number of resources there, and you can register on the website. And I have people do this all of the time. They just say, I don't know where to start. And then I will get in touch with you and bring you into the fold, and we'll help you get started.
Oh, that sounds really exciting. And again, that's justdefy.org. So, mm-hmm. Cynthia, we're going to go over to Jason McBride. He is another one of my great sponsors. He's a senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. And Jason, I hope that you and your family had a great Easter this last weekend.
Yes, we certainly did, and I hope you guys did too.
Most definitely. And I'm sure that you find this organization that Cynthia is putting together quite interesting, correct, Jason?
Well, I think one thing that we need as Republicans and conservatives is organization and motivation. And I think any organization that's trying to do things like that and vet the candidates is a very good thing.
Okay, I totally agree. Jason, Patty had on the headlines, and I mentioned it, that it looks like Joe Biden, you know, they said they were just going to tax millionaires and billionaires, but it looks like it's going to anybody making $200,000 or more, very possibly maybe paying more in taxes. I think it's going to continue to creep down into, you know, other income brackets as well. But a couple of teachers that have been teaching for a long, long time, they're probably making $200,000 a year. And so you are in the process of trying to help people plan for the future. I know there's a lot of unknowns out there, but that's something you've seen these ups and downs and these different tax brackets over all these years.
Yeah, taxes are always one of the great unknowns, but it certainly seems like they're likely to go higher in the future, just because of math. I mean, with the debt being where it is, at some point, somebody's going to have to pay for all this. And I, the only place the government gets money is from taxes. So, that seems like an uncertainty that's almost a certainty that's wise to plan for is the likelihood of higher tax rates in the future.
And I would recommend, with the market at these highs right now, people can take maybe some of the money off the table that they've made in the market and put it someplace else. Cash is never a bad idea sometimes, but each person is different. And I'd recommend that people reach out to you, sit down and talk about their own economy, and you can help them out with that. Jason, how can people reach you?
Kim, the best way to get a hold of us is just the old school way. Give us a call, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason McBride, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
And we're going to go to break and talk with John Tamney, and he is the director of the Center for Economic Freedom at FreedomWorks. He has a new book out about when we all panicked over this coronavirus and what that actually did. In studio with me is Cynthia Sarmiento, and she has created an organization, Justify. It's JustDefy.org. And we all need to become involved. And if you are interested in becoming involved, reach out to her, and she can plug you in someplace. So, Cynthia, it's great to have you in studio. We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thrilled to have in studio with me Cynthia Sarmiento, and she is stepping forward, doing something about what is going on in Colorado. Cynthia, you and I agree, Colorado's the petri dish. We are at the tip of the spear here. Yeah. And your organization, Justify, if people are just tuning in, tell us how you came up with that name.
Again, last year I ran for office and started becoming even more politically involved. And as I was watching and tuning in all the time, watching Governor Polis tell oil workers, you know, just transition, and telling us just wear the damn mask and that type of thing, I sat down one night and had a brainstorming session, and we were talking about that. I said, you know, Justify. And there it was. It just came to us that we want to defy the tyranny. We mm-hmm. want to defy the ideology of socialism. And that's how we came about doing this.
Okay. And that organization is Justify, JustDefy.org. I'm excited to talk with John Tamney. He is the director of the Center for Economic Freedom at FreedomWorks, and he has a new book out, When Politicians Panicked, the new coronavirus, expert opinion, and a tragic lapse of reason. John Tamney, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on.
This book title is quite intriguing. So where should we start, John Tamney?
Well, I think we've got to start with the tragic lapse of reason that was this notion that with a virus spreading, the answer to it is foisting economic desperation on the people. It cannot be stressed enough that the only answer to ill health or sickness is economic growth. Because if you look throughout history, the biggest enemy of death and disease has been economic progress that has created the resources necessary to fight diseases and other illnesses. Conversely, the biggest killer of mankind has always been poverty, simply because the resources don't exist to come up with answers to that which used to kill us. Just to get into a few specifics, pneumonia used to be the captain of man's death. It used to be that most people never even got a chance to die of cancer because pneumonia and tuberculosis got them first. And so we went reverse. We decided to kill the economy to fight the virus.
John, the first couple of weeks, it was an unknown. And, of course, there was all kinds of information coming out. And I remember when I started to get kind of wind that they were thinking about shutting down the economy, and Governor Polis out here was going to shut down the economy, I actually, in a text message, pleaded with my county commissioners to stand against this, to not let it happen. But at the time, Vice President Pence was running the task force on this, and they said, you know, we're going to just do 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Well, one of my sponsors, throughout March, had a anniversary of the 1 year anniversary of 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and it's just tragic what's happened to our economy. But John, it seemed like they were going after small to mid-sized businesses and keeping them closed and letting the big guys stay open. Talk to me about that.
Well, I think you hit on something so crucial, and it's something that you already know. This notion of 2 weeks was always a big lie. Just you never give up power, because once you give something away to politicians, they're going to take more. But think about the logic. We're doing this to flatten the curve. We want to protect the hospitals from an inflow of patients. Think about that for a second and ask yourself the question, think about what your listeners think. They needed force to avoid behavior that might result in them being in the hospital. I mean, think of who would engage in behavior that would put them in the hospital, that would have them so sick that they would have to run to the emergency room. And so by definition, there was never any need to flatten the curve. Americans aren't stupid. People aren't stupid.
Well, I'm going to challenge you on that right now, but because I'm seeing what I think is a lot of not very smart stuff going on. But go ahead, John.
Well, but you're right. Certainly there were going to be people who threw caution to the wind in response. Remember, you need those too. You need to find out from people acting freely what associates with being hospitalized, what associates with being sick. Instead, they just basically said, okay, we're going to take away your freedom. And in doing that, they blinded us to crucial answers about the virus. Now, more broadly about businesses, yeah, no doubt it was tragic what they did to small businesses, but let's consider all the big businesses that suffered. What about what happened to airlines? What happened to hotels?
But they're getting bailouts, right?
Well, theoretically, you know, what happened to the NFL? What happened suddenly all these sports leagues couldn't have fans come and see them? And so certainly, to be clear, I'm not defending it one way or the other. No doubt it hurt the small businesses the most. And as I argue in the book, it was rich man's coronavirus. It was so clearly, as you said, it was this virus, this reaction, this political reaction to it, hurt those with the least the most, unquestionably.
But, John, I think it's more than that. And that is, our small businesses has been the engine of our economy. When you look at everyday people that have put their savings into something, and you probably didn't hear it, but we have a bill out here in Colorado, which is basically it says landlords It takes away a lot of landlords' rights as far as trying to evict somebody or raise rents. And, you know, many times this is maybe just small business people or, you know, that have put bought maybe a couple of properties. They want some cash flow, maybe for retirement. And it seems like there's just this assault on everyday entrepreneurs, small business that's been the engine of our economy, which I have to tell you, John, it just breaks my heart.
Oh, it's the saddest thing. I can't talk about it without raising my voice. I was reading about some Philadelphia restaurant owner in the newspaper, in the Wall Street Journal today. And so this guy, this courageous person, several years ago, borrowed against his house, borrowed against his retirement, dipped into his daughter's college savings because he had a vision for restaurants. And so guess what's happened to him in the past year? Five different open and shut orders in Philadelphia have him on the verge of ruin. And so what I'm talking about is what you're talking about. What they did to the small business person who did not have the ability to force the right to be back open is tragic. Think about it. You can go to Walmart to buy clothes, groceries, or clothes. You can go there to buy furniture. You can do all the things. But if you had the temerity to want to go to a furniture store or a clothing store during the early days of the lockdowns, you were out of luck. Mm-hmm. So what did that do to all those small businesses?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't agree more. It was so random how they did it. And remember, they wanted to limit crowds. So think about that. So we're trying to limit crowds, but we're only going to allow you to enter certain businesses. The logical choice was to say, became a successful business by meeting the needs of the people. You know how to meet their needs in these times. So they actually concentrated crowds when their expressed desire was to do the opposite. Everything about this spoke to a lapse of reason.
Oh my gosh, I hadn't really thought about that. Cynthia, you are shaking your head on this. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, I see what happened as a two-pronged approach by the radical left in that they were able to diminish our economic stability and destroy many small businesses. But I also looked at the shutdowns in a different way, just having my background that I have. One thing that I saw is so many businesses closing down that were specifically the types of businesses where people would congregate and socialize. And instead, promoting businesses that were based strictly on individualized consumerism and isolation in your house. So we're promoting Amazon and things like that. Or we have big box stores like Home Depot that stay open. And, of course, you know, liquor stores and marijuana shops so that we can keep people a little bit sedated. But we get rid of things where people go and socialize, ball games and small restaurants and things like that, churches. And so I see it as a two-pronged attack on not only the economic issue, but on the ability for people to come together, to congregate, and to be able to socialize with each other, which gets us in a position where we can't fight them, but it also, again, creates strife between people and further sets us against each other.
John, what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think without question. I mean, we are social creatures. And think about what human beings have meant for progress. Human beings are the driver of all these advances against diseases that used to so readily kill us. And so during this time, the political class said, you human beings, you are a menace to one another. You are a legal menace. We are going to separate you. So on its own, the very idea was so offensive to common sense. But also, you know, if you're a parent with two young kids, you're probably locked down as is. But for so many people, just getting out and being around other people, enjoying their company is so essential to their happiness, to their knowledge. I look at all the old people who were healthy, mm-hmm. and now they frequently congregate in restaurants during the week, who suddenly had nowhere to go.
Right.
Go to any McDonald's, go to any of these small restaurants on a Monday morning, Tuesday morning. What do old people do? They are desperate for company, and so they get together and have coffee and breakfast, support the business. Suddenly, these healthy people were said, you cannot be around each other. The cruelty of what government did, the beggar's belief, it's, as I write in the book, it is the biggest human rights tragedy of the 21st century.
John, it's so interesting you would mention this, and I've told this on the air before, but I have a neighbor that is in her 90s now. She gave my kids their first job mowing lawns, and there's something about that that was very special. But she's very social. Go out to lunch, like to go to shopping. I mean, she loved that. And again, we had the 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and I went to check on her, and I'm standing 8 feet away from her, and she looked at me, and she said, "Kim, what's going on?" And I said, "I don't know. I just don't know." It broke my heart, John Tamney.
Yeah, the stories are endless. There's an anecdote shouldn't drive policy, but look, freedom should drive policy. Mm. There's a grandfather with Alzheimer's in an old folks home, and suddenly he's asking people, "Did I do something wrong? Why can't I be around anyone?" He thought he had done badly.
Oh.
And where I live outside of Washington, D.C., this is another heartbreaking story. My wife's on a listserv in our neighborhood. I'm not allowed on because I would offend everyone, according to my wife. But that when they shut down the public schools, when they announced it last August, some innocent mother got on and said, "You know what? I've got this semi-autistic child who finally fit in at school last year. She got into the high school marching band. And she was making friends, and suddenly school became a joy, where it hadn't been all of her life." And these allegedly compassionate politicians, well, their response is, "We're just going to shut down this altogether." Can we acknowledge the basic truth that so much of schooling for kids isn't about the learning, it's just being around other people? And they rip that away from them, too. The cruelty of this goes from old people right on down to young.
Oh, John Tamney, you're nailing it here. Let's go to break. I'm talking with John Tamney. He is the director of the Center for Economic Freedom at FreedomWorks. His book is When Politicians Panicked, The New Coronavirus, Expert Opinion, and a Tragic Lapse of Reason. In studio with me is Cynthia Sarmiento. She is working on solutions to what's going on here in Colorado. We are at the tip of the spear here. We've got to step up, and she's doing that with her group, justify.org. We'll be right back.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Before we continue on with the conversation with John Tamney and Cynthia Sarmiento, another one of my great sponsors is Castlegate Knife and Tool. And Hal's noted that knives have been around since the Stone Age, and for good reason. They're functional, durable, and versatile, and they're an essential part of the all-American toolkit. So whether you are a hunter, angler, or outdoorsman, you no doubt have that favorite knife or two that you can't do without. And where do you go when you want to add to that toolkit? Well, obviously, Castlegate Knife and Tool, located in Sedalia, Colorado. And they offer custom knives, unique folders, and fixed blades from the world's greatest makers. Check out castlegate.com for more information. That's castlegate.com. Cynthia, during break, you mentioned something. John had talked about this woman in his neighborhood with an autistic child, and you had a comment.
Well, you know, the shutdown that occurred last year, I have a 12-year-old son who had just made it onto the honor roll the day that the shutdown occurred was supposed to be his first day in track. And he was also heavily involved in our church's youth group at the time. And in one day, his entire life, his entire, existence that he knew as a 12-year-old boy was stripped from him, as it has been with so many youth. And we've seen their mental health just decline traumatically over the last year. And most kids are still not back to any sort of normal type of routine. They've been stripped from their education, their social involvement. And what we know about child development is that the social development is critical to cognitive development. So when we strip that away, we are stripping away their ability to grow cognitively as well. So we have, in essence, a generation of students now who have missed the cognitive development they should have gotten for over a year now.
Well, I think that goes to this last item that, John, you have here, is a tragic lapse of reason. It is tragic when we hear these different stories. We've got about 5 minutes left, John. I want to make sure that we talk about what you want to make sure that you highlight, but you're with Freedom Works, and it always seemed to me like we could have a competition, if you will, a capitalism, that we could have one school that if parents were super concerned about their kids, that they could be totally online learning. But another school, if parents were concerned about their kids being isolated and let them actually have kids go to school like regular kids, and then we could watch what happened. But that never, ever occurred from what I could tell, John.
No. They took away the freedom that's so crucial because it's freedom, but that also it's crucial because it produces information. Look, you wanted people trying different things. You wanted some schools open, some closed. You wanted some people locking themselves up in their homes, never to be seen again. You need people like that. You need to see if that works. You need some people like my occasionally exasperating wife, who every time I'd walk in the door, she'd say, she'd wash her hands, and she would literally, in the early days, jump off the sidewalk if you're passing someone. You want people like that, too. You want people like me who can't wait to go to the grocery store, for whom that's the highlight of their day, just to be around other people, and who couldn't wait to get back into restaurants. And then you want young kids who are throwing caution to the wind, living their lives. You want to learn from different actions what associates with the spread, what associates with bad health outcomes, because we know so little, and that's what I stress throughout the book. We can't possibly know all we're supposed to need to know. Many of you, both of you, probably remember AIDS in the 1980s. Mm-hmm. I point out in the book that Dr. Fauci back then wrote a paper saying that AIDS could be passed just from a husband to a wife just being in the same room together. How wrong he was. Yet the arrogance that even though he knew so little back then, he said, oh, well, this time is different. I know. And remember, his line was, who cares if people lose jobs? We have got to get this shut down. We've got to take every precaution possible. No, in shutting down, you destroyed the engine of prosperity that would lead to a cure if needed, but you also destroyed the creation of information that would help us to understand the virus that they said was so lethal.
Boy, you have really nailed something there, and I hadn't realized that Dr. Fauci, actually one of my listeners had mentioned that he had been, leadership role or whatever on that whole AIDS epidemic, and people died because of the decisions that he made there, apparently.
Well, yeah, again, there's just so much that we didn't know. It doesn't make doctors and experts bad, but information rarely ages well. Think about a show that was based in Denver back in the 1980s, Dynasty. Does anyone remember Dynasty? Remember how Linda Evans made out with Rock Hudson on the show, and then he subsequently died of AIDS in real life, and people thought she was going to die? See, we didn't know. And in this case, but thank goodness there weren't lockdowns, although people were trying to strip rights from certain people back then. This time, with limited information, we gave the experts endless power to wreck people's lives, to wreck businesses, to wreck childhoods, to, again, suffocate the very economy that is the engine of the resources that would help us to come up with answers to society's biggest killers. In this case, luckily it wasn't, but what happens if it is? the answer is, if something's a killer, you have to have more freedom, not less, because freedom produces the information and resources to fight it. Historians will marvel that we chose economic desperation and societal upheaval as the answer to a virus. It never made sense, even from the earliest of days.
Okay, John, we've got just a minute left, and so this is the million-dollar question. Where do we go from here?
Where we go from here is, we've got to have the answer always be, it begins with freedom and it ends with freedom. We all know, Kim, Cynthia, we all know that the statistics support our argument that they overreacted. But if we make a statistical argument that there will be another virus coming down the line, they'll say, well, this time is different, politicians. We've got to wreck businesses and take away freedom this time because this virus hits young people. No, the answer has to be freedom. Because if something threatens you, why do you need political force to avoid it? We must begin and end with freedom so that they can never, ever do this again.
Wow, that's for sure. I would recommend people get this book by John Tamney. It's When Politicians Panic, The New Coronavirus, Expert Opinion, and A Tragic Lapse of Reason. Freedom is the answer. And what is freedom? What is liberty? It is the responsible exercise of freedom. John Tamney, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Kim and Cynthia. What a thrill to be on. I'm so grateful.
And we're grateful as well. And Cynthia, you're stepping up to the plate right here in Colorado. We're at the tip of the spear. Justify, JustDefy.org is your organization. It's time for all of us to step forward, step into this, and move into freedom, as John had said. So thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
And our quote for today is from Samuel Adams. He said, if ever a time should come when vain and aspiring men shall possess the highest seats in government, our country will stand in need of its experienced patriots, Cynthia Sarmiento, to prevent its ruin. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
And I don't want no one to cry.